My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
While we were away, the Royals made a trade. Now, many of you wanted to see the Royals make a move for a bullpen arm. That is exactly what they did. They got Hunter Harvey. He has played for the Orioles. He has also played for the Washington Nationals. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Hunter Harvey. I'll just tell you guys the truth. But what I do have the ability to do is pick up the phone and get somebody who does know a lot about Hunter Harvey. So let's go to the phone lines and be joined by Ryan Clary. Ryan Clary is the Josh Vernier of Washington, D.C. He is the pre- and post-game host for the Washington Nationals, also is the host of a podcast called Locked on the Nationals. Ryan, appreciate you hopping on, man, to inform us about who the Royals got. Tell us a little bit more about who the player is that the Royals just acquired.
Hunter Harvey, honestly, has kind of been like a very aggressive move here at this year's trade deadline, because not a lot of people were expecting Hunter Harvey to be traded, to be honest. And so it kind of came as a little bit of a surprise at this point to a lot of people here in D.C. Hunter Harvey's got a four-pitch mix. He uses a heavy dose of his fastball, can ride up in the upper 90s. I mean, usually he sits around 98, 99. He's got a nice little split finger change, uses a slider and a curveball as well. So Hunter Harvey's been one of these guys over the last few years here who has really kind of stepped up into the Nationals bullpen and has taken this setup guy role in the eighth inning, and he has done very well. So he's been a fan favorite for over the last few years, got picked up by the Orioles when he was DFA just a few years ago, came in and fit that spot perfectly, and ever since then has really blossomed into, at times, looking like an all-star kind of reliever.
Looking at his numbers, they're up from where they were in 2023. ERA is up from 2.82 to 4.20. Last year, he gave up 44 hits. He's already given up 43 hits so far this season, has given up more runs than he did last season. Walks are also up as well. What has been different from 2024 than he was doing in 2023?
So I think it's just really the usage, because Davey Martinez here, the manager for the Washington Nationals, I mean, Hunter Harvey has been one of those guys where if the game is on the line, you're going to be putting him out there in the eighth inning. And the Nationals, they have been a lot more competitive this year, so they've had a lot more scenarios where you want your A bullpen in. And Hunter Harvey has kind of fit that mold for them over the last two seasons. So the Nationals just getting a lot of opportunities. And if you look at his game logs, you'll see times like early on in July where he was pitching 4 days straight. I mean, that's not an ideal scenario if you're a bullpen guy. I mean, you're going out there and you're pumping 99 to 100 miles per hour, you're going to wear down pretty easily. And the way that the Nationals have used him over the last year or so, you can kind of see that coming. Now, his ERA is a little inflated, in my opinion. Like, if you look back just a month ago, his ERA was right around like a 2.7. I mean, even then, I don't really look at ERAs as far as relief guys go. The guy strikes out a ton of batters per nine innings. His walk rate is up, but still, again, I kind of look at that usage rate for him, and the Nationals just simply overused him this last month. So his stuff is still there. I just think it's a matter of him just kind of going through this rough patch that got him up to a 4.2, 4.3 ERA so far in 2024. But I don't really look at that. You should not look at that too far in depth at this point in time. The guy's got good stuff. I think he will be good for the Royals down the line.
Are you surprised that the Nationals made this move, given how much club control that Hunter Harvey has left? I mean, I'm looking at it. I mean, the Royals have club control for 2025 and 2026. You know, if you're a team like the Nationals, you know this well. I mean, you can turn things around in the second half or prepare for next season. Are you surprised that the Nationals parted ways with the guy that obviously they like and has so much club control left?
You know, I was a little surprised at first, and then I saw the return. I mean, you guys gave up your number two prospect according to MLB.com with Caden Wallace. I mean, he'll come in. He maybe could make the majors sometime later on this season. And also the number 39 pick that we saw in last night's draft. I mean, the Nationals, not to get too nitty-gritty here, but they got someone in the front office who kind of runs their draft now from the Baltimore Orioles. And if you know the Orioles, what they have done over the last few years, they have been able to kind of take guys under slot, which is what the Nationals did last night, sign someone for cheaper, and then take like that 39th pick last night and get someone for maybe above slot. So I wasn't too surprised with it once I saw the move happen and everything kind of just started to make sense with it. But all things considered, I was a tad bit surprised considering the Nationals are starting to look better. And again, you said that the team control of these next 2.5 seasons, I mean, the Royals, if you're going to be making a postseason run, you're going to have 3 postseasons with Hunter Harvey. And again, I think he has been one of the more consistent setup guys in the eighth inning across the National League for some time now. So I think it could be a really solid move for the Royals. But overall, I am a little surprised the Nationals did do this. But again, I do like the return for both sides.
Ryan, I'll get you out of here with this, and I appreciate your time. Once again, just summarize what you think the Royals are getting with this player, with Hunter Harvey. And what do you think the best ways to use him? Is he a guy that you think could close in some certain situations? Is he a 6th, 7th, 8th inning guy? I'm just assuming a lot of Royals fans are not incredibly knowledgeable on who the Royals just got, but this is an organization that needed bullpen help, desperately could use another arm. So I think there is hope and optimism around this move.
You know, I would use him as an 8th inning guy, setup guy. I mean, he could even pitch earlier on in that. He has gone at times where he goes 1 2/3 or 2 full innings pitch, but Hunter Harvey is not a closer. I mean, we've kind of tried to have that with him over the last few seasons, and he just could not, for whatever reason, close out a baseball game to save his life. So at this point in time, I look at him as a really solid setup guy, pitching in the 7th or the 8th inning. And again, he's going to blow 99 by people. He has the stuff to be a closer, but for whatever reason it is, maybe he has different luck in Kansas City. But at this point in time, every time the Nationals tried to use him as a closer, it just wouldn't really go too well, and things would kind of blow up in his face, as we've seen over the last month or so, even with Kyle Finnegan, who was our closer, who had some time off and took a little break there because the Nationals were overusing him. So I would look at him as an 8th-inning setup guy, and I think he'll do just fine in that role.
That is Ryan Clary joining us on the show today. He is basically the Josh Vernier version for the Washington Nationals. He is the host of the Locked On Nationals podcast, telling us everything we need to know about the newest member of the Kansas City Royals, Hunter Harvey, who is now added to the Royals bullpen. Ryan, man, great stuff today. Great insight. I appreciate you, man.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. That's Ryan Clary joining us on the show today. Rob, I like this move. I don't want to make it seem like I have the most detailed background on Hunter Harvey, but I think it is in line with what the Royals said a couple of weeks ago when J.J. Piccolo was on the midday show. He said that they were going to be more interested in players that have club control, and they were not going to be interested in some short-term fixes. You then look at the first trade that they make, if this is the only trade that they make. This is exactly what they got back in return for. I mean, this was J.J. Piccolo when he was on MLB Network. He said something very similar on Cody and Gold. Here's what he said last week.
We have to, you know, sort of thread the needle here. You know, this is the first year that we've been competing. We want to build our farm system and win at the same time, and that's hard to do. But if we can make a couple smart moves, we're going to look to do it. You know, our payroll flexibility is there. Our owner's been very supportive from the offseason until now. But at the same time, we're going to need to make smart moves. You know, it might be a couple moves on the margin. I don't know if we'll go get a big name, high dollar contract. We'll see how that plays out. But I think if we can make a couple tweaks and also be patient with the guys that we have, because I still think some are on the come right now, we may have the right blend without really costing us or mortgaging our future with the farm system. So it's going to be a balance.
I mean, the Royals clearly needed help. I mean, if they're going to try to close this thing out and this team is going to make the postseason, I think it is fair to say that they were not going to do that with the team that they currently have. So they were going to need to make a move. They were going to need to be smart about the move that they made. And I thought that they did that here. I like this move. I like the idea of the signing. Get somebody that you think can shore up the sixth and the seventh inning, throw you another arm in there. If you hear what Ryan Clary says, who is the Nationals beat writer, hey, this is still a guy who's really good, but just was overused and overworked. I don't think that's going to be a problem in the Royal system. With what they gave up and the amount of club control that they still have for him, this is a solid trade for the Royals.
We heard it last week when John Sherman was on with Vern. He said, you know, I'm looking for the now and the future. Like, we're not really going to be in the give up a lot of prospects for rental game. That was what John Sherman was saying. So, you know, I love prospects same way I love draft picks. So I don't like giving up on prospects, but you're getting multiple years of control from a guy who, let's be honest, this year is a little bit of an outlier. I mean, last year, 2.82 ERA. Year before that, 2.52 ERA. Like, he's a reliever that usually is around the twos or threes, and that's a guy now you have multiple years of control with. Maybe he refines the form with your pitching staff, with your, you know, department, pitching department, with your coaching staff, and he gets back to that 2.82 bullpen arm. It's very possible. I don't know. But let's say he ends up being just what he is, a 4.0 bullpen arm. Well, then the Royals gave up a pick and a player for multiple years of control for a player. They already have a similar type in the bullpen, but you feel like he can get back to that prior form maybe this year or next. This fits with what the Royals need to do. They need to find moves that help now and help next year. Hunter Harvey can help next year. He can help this year. It's why when the text line is like, hemorrhage everything to go get Jazz Chisholm, I'm like, hard pass. I want the Royals to be successful in 24 and 25, and to do that, they need to keep developing through their farm system and make smart, savvy moves, not give up everything like it's 2015 moves.
No, I'm 100% with you. I like what they did. I thought this was a very reasoned response to kind of where the Royals are. I mean, they're falling back a little bit. I would say if you were just solely playing the averages, it is probably more likely that they won't make the playoffs than they will. The way the playoff picture is shaping right now, they are falling very rapidly behind the Minnesota Twins. They are the fourth team in the American League wildcard race. They're four games behind of Boston. Houston is a game and a half back of Kansas City. And if you were saying, like, if we were just solely going by the Vegas odds, hey, who is more likely to win more games in the second half of the season, Houston or the Royals? Almost everybody would take Houston in that bet. But I think you give yourself a chance to do it this year, and you continue to line yourself up for, hey, we are way ahead of schedule. Even if this team wins 85 games and misses the playoffs this year, what you gained, the hope, the experience, getting guys like Bobby Witt Jr. to play some winning baseball, and this is how you get fans back. This is exactly what the Royals' formula was in 2013. Hey, let's put together a good season, and then let's build the optimism for 14 and 15. We are seeing history repeat itself. And I don't know if it's going to lead to a World Series the way that it did then, but this is a major building block in what the Royals are doing in building a roster that you think can compete for years to come. And maybe this team doesn't make the postseason, which, again, I think if you're playing the odds, it is probably more likely they will not make the playoffs than they will. But we'll see how the second half of the season goes. You got seven games against the Cleveland Guardians. You got more games against the Minnesota Twins. Like, it is not over by any means. You had to give yourself a chance, and you were not making the postseason with the talent that they currently have. All right, coming up on the other side, Rob, we said that every day at around 3:15, we're going to talk football. I know I was off on Friday, but I am back today. I'll give you my NFL thought for the day. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep, spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
While I was away, ESPN continued their ranking of positions in the National Football League. We have now got two quarterbacks. Let me give you who they have as the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League. Honorable mention, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence. These, according to ESPN, so what they're doing is they get 80 execs, 80 scouts, 80 coaches. They have them do an anonymous ranking. They take the average. So don't get mad at me. I'm simply passing the information. This is who they have. Number 10, Dak Prescott. Number 9, Jared Goff. Number 8, Aaron Rodgers. 7, C.J. Stroud. 6, Justin Herbert. The top 5. 5, Matthew Stafford. 4, Lamar Jackson. 3, Josh Allen. 2, Joe Burrow. And number 1, you guessed it, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. That is how ESPN has the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL ranked. Rob, agree, disagree? What's your major complaint? What's your biggest takeaway when you hear this list on ESPN?
You know, my knee-jerk was I didn't have any major complaints. It kind of reminds me of when they did edge rusher. We talked about this last week on the show, where I felt like, okay, if I wanted to nitpick, if I wanted to get really in the weeds, I'd be like, oh, this guy needs to have this guy. But generally speaking, that's a pretty good feel for the position by the four-letter network. I feel like outside of running back, because running back, me and you just wildly disagreed on running back. Outside of that position, I feel like generally speaking, they have done a pretty good job of identifying the best in the position and getting them ranked properly.
My biggest takeaway when I saw this, which is funny because one of my good friends asked me who my top five was at quarterback, and I gave him this exact same list. Once you get past four, you can make an argument to me for six people. I think the top four are undeniable. I will not listen to you if that is not your top four. In some order, that starts with Mahomes at one. But if you got Allen two, Lamar Jackson three, Burrow four, not going to fight you. So one, let's put that aside. There's no reason to debate it. I think two, three, and four, you can rank that however you want. There is a gap in the NFL after you get out of those top four. Stafford, Herbert, Stroud, Rodgers, Goff, Dak, and I think you could throw a couple of other names in there that if you told me you thought Jared Goff was the fifth best quarterback in the NFL, I would not fight you if that is the answer. That was my biggest takeaway. My second biggest takeaway is, man, a lot of these are if guy is healthy. I think Matthew Stafford's a top five quarterback too. Given his age and his injury history, is he still that guy? It feels weird to keep Aaron Rodgers outside of your top 10, but if you were telling me going into the season, would I rather have Aaron Rodgers or Jared Goff? I'd rather have Jared Goff. If you were asking me coming into this season, would I rather have Dak Prescott or Aaron Rodgers? I'd rather have Dak Prescott. I'd rather have Jordan Love than have Aaron Rodgers. 40 years old, not entirely sure how committed you are to playing football and doing the things necessary to still be a great quarterback in the league and coming off a significant injury. I've just got my questions about Rodgers. So I get why he's in the top 10. It feels weird to just completely leave him out, but I'm not sure if Rodgers would make my top 10. I think he'd be in my honorable mention. I don't know right now if he's a top 10 quarterback in the league.
I understand that, and I do. And me and you are both guys who are down on the Jets this year. Neither one of us are buying what the Jets are selling. It feels like they're the same thing they were selling last year, which is, hey, look, we were a quarterback away, and now we got the quarterback. All those things are fair and true, but I imagine some of this top 10 rankings has to be, you know, basement versus ceiling. Because if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, and that if is massive, and I understand that, he is better than a lot of the guys you mentioned, even at 41 years old. The last time we saw Aaron Rodgers on the football field healthy and playing, it was for the Green Bay Packers. And yes, he had taken a dip from the two-time MVP player, but it wasn't like he was some schmuck who just couldn't play the position. He was still a top 10 or near top 10 quarterback in the league. There are massive ifs, and his basement, you could bottom out because of those ifs. But I feel like the ceiling, if Rodgers is healthy and looks like Rodgers again, I mean, he's three seasons removed from being an MVP. It just feels like you have to factor that in. I understand why you'd have him outside the top 10, but I get why he is in. He'd be like 9, 10, 11, 12 for me. It's hard to really fight too hard about a semantics thing of that nature for me.
And this is why I think it's really hard to kind of rank quarterbacks, and that's why I say, hey, once you get outside that top four, I think you can kind of choose your own adventure, so to speak. Someone just texted in, CDOT, I can't believe you have Dak in your top 10. What the hell has he done other than turn in worst playoff performance year after year? This is the conversation that we have about Mahomes. There aren't a lot of proven winners currently in the National Football League. Like, who else is won? So when we have the conversation about, hey, well, you can't pay this guy, what has he done? The only quarterback in the NFL that is under the age of 35 that has really done something is Patrick Mahomes. I guess you could argue Russell Wilson, but it was such a long time ago. Obviously, Rodgers, when he accomplished it, he's over 35 years old. Nobody in this new school has really done anything. So if you're telling me, hey, well, you can't have Dak in your top 10 because of playoff success, then okay. How can I have Justin Herbert in my top 10 list? How can I have CJ Stroud in my top 10 list? How can you have a lot of these guys if we are going off postseason success? Because we're just at a point right now as we are transitioning away from the Manning and Roethlisberger and Breeze and guys that did it for a decade. Other than Mahomes, Josh Allen does not have a great playoff track record. Lamar Jackson does not have a great playoff track record. Justin Herbert doesn't have one. Dak Prescott doesn't have one. There's just not a lot of guys that have really done anything when the weather gets cold.
I mean, if we're going to do it based solely on the postseason, wouldn't that mean that you have to have Joe Burrow at two? Like,
yeah, that's why he's there. Yeah,
he's the only guy in the AFC who's, you know, taking his team to the Super Bowl in the Mahomes era. I mean, 100%, Brady did
this. No, the top five, I said earlier, that is
My friend asked me the same question when they were bringing it up. Hey, CDOT, who do you think? I gave him this exact top five in this exact order. This is who I think are the five best quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now, if you were telling me, hey, Matthew Stafford's a little bit banged up, pick somebody else, then my answer would be Jared Goff. I think that Stafford or Goff are the best quarterback once you get off the big four. Once you get past Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Jackson, I will listen to Stafford, I will listen to Goff, and at least as of right now, I will not listen to anybody else.
I'm curious why you're so high on Stafford. It just, there definitely seems to be a level of diminishing returns, and similar to Aaron Rodgers, now he played last year, so it's not the exact same, he had an injury problem. He had, what, Tommy John surgery? That's not something you just bounce back from, and he's an aging quarterback. I don't have a problem with him in the top 10, but you seem to have him at the top of that second, just outside the, you know, big four tier. I think he's probably down the list a little bit, but still probably in that top 10.
Yeah, I just trust him a little bit more than I trust all the rest of these guys. I think the talent has proven itself over the course of a decade or so. I mean, I don't feel great about Matthew Stafford at number five for all of those reasons that we just mentioned. I mean, Matthew Stafford's 36 years old. He has had significant injuries. I mean, that Super Bowl year, I know it seems like, oh, the Rams just recently won the Super Bowl. It wasn't that recent. So Matthew Stafford had 41 touchdowns the year they won the Super Bowl. He has thrown 34 touchdowns in the two seasons since then. So you can certainly argue Matthew Stafford is not a top five quarterback in the NFL. That's why I think this conversation has been really good. I actually think the list on ESPN have been pretty strong. I know people think hot takes and clicks and interaction. I think for the most part, these lists have been really good. They've been really solid. I don't really think you can fight and argue them too much based on what I've seen. Now, they're not done with the list, but I mean, we've seen quarterback, we've seen running back, we've seen edge rusher, we've seen a majority of the positions in the National Football League. I think they're doing a fantastic job with the list right now.
The only one that me and you have really disagreed on is running back.
Yeah.
Running back, I learned that you hate Breece Hall through this process, but outside
of running
back. I don't
hate Breece Hall. I do not hate Breece Hall. I just don't. If you have not run for 1,000 yards in your career, you are not the second best running back in the National Football League yet. You can be. Hey, go out there and ball out. Go out there and have a 1,400 rushing yard, 500 through the air. Go do what Jonathan Taylor did a couple of years ago, and I'll put that crown on your head. But you can't have 900 rushing yards and tell me you're the second behind Christian McCaffrey when I saw Christian McCaffrey be the best player on a potential Super Bowl team, and you were the third best player on a team that won five games last season. No, Breece Hall's not the second best running back in the league. Great player, talented player. I'm not putting him at number two on my list. Absolutely not.
Point is, outside of running back and your disdain for Breece Hall, Wichita product, I believe, outside of that list, ESPN seems to have really nailed this. And you're right. We, as a sports radio community, our job is sometimes to nitpick and attack lists. It's just our job. How dare you rank this player ahead of this person? It's like a staple of the industry. Generally speaking, ESPN has not gotten any much ire from me. They've done a fine job.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, postseason stats are the only stats that matter to me, and that should be the basis for these quarterback contracts. I mean, that all sounds fine and good. Then if you're the if you're the GM for Buffalo, I what do you do? If you're the GM for, like, what do you do in that scene? Like, that sounds good. Like, I understand the, oh, man, you keep trying at quarterback, you keep trying at, yeah, then you're getting fired as a general manager. Then if that's your play is, when Lamar Jackson's contract comes up, we are not paying Lamar Jackson and we're going to draft another quarterback. I hope you update your LinkedIn. I hope you get ready on monster.com because you are not going to be the general manager of that team for long. So we do have to acknowledge, this is where I think the Chiefs fans now speak from a place of quarterback privilege. Like, you have, over the last 30 years, there has only been one organization that has a better quarterback situation than the one you have. That was the Patriots. One. Think of all the teams that we've seen in the last 30 years. There is one that had a better. You just speak from a very, very high place of privilege. And I get it. Like, you don't need to empathize with all these other teams. You certainly paid your dues along the way. But if you got Lamar Jackson, who's won two MVPs but has struggled in the postseason, you don't have a choice. You keep hoping and praying that eventually it works out, and eventually, you know, I mean, other quarterbacks got rings during the Brady era. We talk about the Patriots dynasty, and it was magical. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl during this time. Eli Manning won a Super Bowl during this time. At some point, I don't know when it is. I feel like we've been saying this for the last 3 years. Someone else wins a Super Bowl under Mahomes' watch. I don't know when that's going to happen. I'm not even sure if it's going to be that year, but somebody else is going to get one. You would think in theory that Lamar Jackson is going to be that individual. All right, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Binkley will join us in studio. Rob, I haven't told people this in a while. Today, we are taking, if you are the coach of a team, we will take your phone calls today and you can promote your team. We had Brian on the show earlier today, who is a middle school coach. Was he a teacher too or a coach? I don't think you can just coach the middle school kids. I don't think that's how it works. But he worked at Harmony Middle. He shouted out his eighth grade girls. They went undefeated this year, so salute to them. So if you want to call out and salute your team, we are more than happy to have you call in today. We appreciate you. Rob, I don't know if this is my old man, you know, I got to get off my lawn. Maybe this is what it is. And I don't want to sound old, but I do feel this way. Rob, do you know what the home run derby rules are? Just like, do you know what they are? Like, have you seen them? Are you familiar with them? How would you explain them to somebody? Because one thing that I would never want to have to do is explain how the home run derby works. I feel like the home run derby should be simple enough that just, oh, that's easy to understand. Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Oh, yeah, I know, I get it. You got to really explain the home run derby rules. We've done something wrong with the home run derby. We really have. We've done something wrong if you really got to explain the rules to somebody. I just want them to go back to the way it was before. So the first round today, this is the rules. 3-minute round, 40 pitches, one timeout, 3 bonus outs, and if you hit a 425-foot home run in the bonus period, you get an extra bonus out. What? Somebody got, Rob, I know you're answering the phone. Can you explain this to me? What is happening? How is this so difficult? Maybe I'm being old. You guys can tell me, 913-586-7610. Maybe I'm being old. Whatever happened to, hey, Bobby Witt, you get 15 outs. If you don't hit a home run, then you're out. That's an out. You get 15 of those. Hey, we're going to do that same thing with Gunnar Henderson. Hey, we're going to do that same thing with Pete Alonso. How is that? What was wrong with that rule? Why are we doing this? You get bonus rounds and timeouts. And it's why is the home run derby confusing?
I thought we had a pretty good system. Like, here at the station, I think it's on the internet now, we were doing a little quick pop-up Instagram video. How many home runs think Bobby Witt's going to hit? And I had to ask our social media person, hey, what are the current rules? I looked up how last year went. I have a number in mind, but they changed it. And then he explained the new rules to me, as you just did. And I stared at him, and I'm like, why did we change off what we just had? Me and you were doing the show, what, 2 or 3 years ago when Salvador Perez had that huge first round, but Pete Alonso was doing an interview during it and Royals fans were all up in arms. That system seemed to work. Why are we 3 years removed from making major changes? The slam dunk contest is boring and been out of touch for a while. If they change those rules, cool. The derby was working. We don't need a change just for change sakes, Rob Manfred. Come on now.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's just more fun. I do plan on watching it today just because Bobby Witt is in it. I didn't watch a second of that thing last year. I don't regret my decision either. I plan on watching it today, but if you got to overly explain the home run derby rules, we've just lost the plot point. All right, so tomorrow we are having Mizzou Day. Wednesday, we are having KU Day. Thursday is K-State Day. Today, we only have one rule today. We have one rule. If you are the coach of a team, you are allowed to call up and shout out your team. I don't care if Andy Reid calls up today or you just coach your kid's softball team. You are allowed to call up today, shout out your team, and, I don't know, big them up. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Coach Jerk called into the show today. Coach Jerk, how you doing, man?
A.K.A. J-Rock, known to the show. What's going on, C-Dot?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. Coach Jerk, what I'm known by in the football world, but I just want to give a shout-out to my boys, 9U, Legacy X, Factor, Hellcat, and repeat again this year.
All right, Coach J-Rock, man, good luck to your kids, man. 9 years old out there playing the foosball, man. Shout out to them. All right, Nathan. Nathan, you want to call up? You want to shout out your team? How you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing great. How you doing, C-Dot?
Doing good, man. Appreciate you calling in today.
All right, so I'm the coach of the Witches, my men's slow-pitch softball league. I just want to shout those boys out in Blue Springs. Finished the year strong with a 23-5 dub.
Nathan, I got a question here, and I don't mean this disrespectful because I'm sure you're a great coach.
Thank you.
You guys have a coach for slow-pitch softball?
Yeah, someone's got to tell people where to go in the lineup, you know, where to play, best positional values, all that stuff. Who's bringing the Capri Suns? Someone's got to do the hard work.
So I'm asking a question. I didn't know this. Are you also a player too? Like you play and you're the coach? So you're like Bill Russell, or you just coach and you don't play?
Oh no, I'm playing. I'm Alex Gordon in left field.
Okay, all right, Nathan. All right, thank you, Nathan. I appreciate you, man. Shout out to your team. Good luck to you guys. I was confused there for a second. I was a little confused there. I was like, wait, you just go to the thing and you just coach him? You don't play? Oh, okay, that's not bad. All right, never mind. I was confused. Rob, you had to be a little confused there. I was like, wait, y'all got a coach? Not the coach. You're the leader. You're the team captain.
You're not
the coach. Yeah, you're not the coach. I thought you was like, hold on. You just show up to the game and give them guidance and you just go home? I didn't know. All right, no, he hits too.
Can you imagine a 35-year-old comes in the dugout and his coach like, hey, good AB. Good AB.
Yeah, man, live your dreams. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We only have one rule today. If you're the coach of a team, we will take your phone call. You can shout out your team. Andrew, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. How you doing, C-Dot?
Doing good, man. Appreciate you calling in.
I got to give a shout out to the Blue Springs Blazer basketball boys. I've coached my son the last 3 years. First 2 years, we went undefeated. And then we kind of bumped up the last year to kind of get a little bit more competitive. And we lost a couple, but give a shout out to the Blazers.
All right, Andrew, man, good luck to the Blazers, man. We appreciate you calling in, man. Good luck to the Blazers, man. They taking that step up, man. Let level of competition. That's basically what Rob is doing in college football 25. He's been playing the computer on rookie for so long. He got to play me later. Take that bump up in competition. I was still just that guy, he was the coach of his softball team. It threw me off for a second. I'm happy we figured it out. I'm happy I asked some follow-up questions to Andrew because I was a little confused for a second. I was very, very confused if that's how it works. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, Binkley's going to join us in studio. We have Mizzou Day tomorrow on the show. I guess I could tell you guys this while we were talking about it. You guys know it's the All-Star break. There's not a whole lot going on right now in the world of sports. So today, if you are a coach, if you want to call in, we will take your phone call. Shout out your team. Tomorrow is Mizzou Day. Luther Burden is going to be on the show. Tom Hart will be on the show. Christian Williams will be on the show. He plays D-line for Mizzou. Gabe DeArmond, Eli Drinkwitz, Brady Cook. If you are a Missouri fan, we got something for you tomorrow. Wednesday, we will have KU Day. Thursday, we will have K-State Day. Friday, I don't think we have any plans, but you know what? I plan on being here on Friday. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
All right. Rob, let's have this conversation for a bit. Coming up at the top of the hour, I do want to talk more baseball. This is what I like to talk to you about, Rob. So earlier, I told you guys that this weekend, I think I watched almost as much soccer on television as I ever have in my life. I watched most of both games. And I enjoyed it. I really had a good time watching. And now, a lot of that was where I was. You know, you're at the sports book. There's people on both sides. They're yelling. They're screaming. They're going crazy. It was just a fun atmosphere. I would not consider myself to be a soccer fan, but if you tell me that people that are the best at something are competing at it, I usually will give it a try. I mean, I'm not the best speller in the world, but if you're telling me that, hey, the best spellers that our country has to offer in a competition, well, damn it, I'm watching it. I don't know how to play poker at all. Like, don't even understand the basic premise of poker. But hey, if it's the World Series of Poker and it's the final table, I will turn it on and watch it.
So I was telling you guys that I think the reason that some of you don't like soccer is you have chosen to cheer for Boston College. And you would be a happier individual, and maybe you would like soccer if you just picked a different team. If your only introduction to soccer is the MLS and the United States national team, I get how, you know what, soccer may not be for you, but why don't you open up your eyes and see that soccer could be really fun if you just became a bandwagon fan? Oh, the text line was telling me how you can't be a bandwagon fan. You can't be a fair weather fan. What are you guys talking about? Most of you are fair weather fans. There's nothing wrong with that. We have kind of done this in sports where we make it seem like everybody is a diehard fan. The Royals are not bottom five in attendance in a sports-crazed environment if a lot of you are not fair weather fans. I saw Kansas football be dormant. They were giving tickets away for a decade. Kansas football had a little bit of motion. It was sold out. Most people are fair weather fans. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. You might have used to love an artist, but they don't make good music anymore. That doesn't mean you have to keep going to their concerts. No, you got to start making better music and I'll come back. We got to quit trying to shame casual fans, fair weather fans, people that pick up and put down fandom. There's nothing wrong with that. I love Missouri basketball. I do, with my whole heart. You know what I don't really have much of an interest doing? Driving on a Wednesday to watch them play Mississippi State in the course of a season in which they haven't won a single conference game. You boys have lost all 2024. Why would I go to this? This is not fun. This is not enjoyable. This is not entertaining. I am here to tell you, there is nothing wrong with being a casual fan. There is nothing wrong with being a fair weather fan. In fact, you guys might be the smart ones. You might be the smart one. You know what doesn't seem like it's been a lot of fun the last couple of years? Being a diehard Royals fan. Some of you have those people in your life. Hey, you went to 50 Royals games last year? Why? You can't like fun if you went to 50 Royals games last year. For free? And not just for free, you paid money to be there? Oh, no, you can't. You cannot like fun. It could not have been that enjoyable to watch baseball. I don't like anybody that much. I'm just telling you, it's okay to be a fair weather fan. It's okay. It's okay to tell these teams, hey, I'll come back when you get better. So what I'm suggesting is, I'm not saying you got to quit the United States soccer team forever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying right now, while they don't have a coach and they're trying to figure things out and they're losing in the first round, pick up another team and then come back. Who's going to judge you? No one's going to judge you.
Me, I'll judge you.
I'm saying right now, cheer for the Netherlands. It looks like it's fun to cheer for the Netherlands. Pick France. They're good. Pick another team.
I would have no problem.
France is red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much of a difference. Yeah, cheer for France.
I have no problem with this take if it's not a tournament the United States is in. If you are a casual fan, it's like, hey, I like watching high-level soccer. And you told me, you know what I love? I cheered my heart out in the Euros for Spain, and I was rewarded. Cool. That's fine by me. I have no problem with that. But if you're going to tell me this year in the World Cup 2026, games are going to be in Kansas City, you know who I'm a diehard fan of? Netherlands. And I'm like, oh, where are you from? Kansas City, Missouri. No, not okay. I don't even mind a level of fair weather. Your Missouri example is perfect. You remained a Missouri fan.
Yeah.
Your loudness just changed, and that's fine. But when Missouri was bad last year, they were winning no conference games. I never saw you roll up to the office in Big Blue Nation gear, because that's not how it works.
Okay, no, that's, you're right.
You were never once like, you know who can hoop? My favorite player, my favorite team, Reed Sheppard.
Someone said, do you think fair weather fans are different than bandwagon fans? I mean, kinda. I mean, they're kind of the same. There are people now that have just started cheering for the Chiefs. You know that too. That person never really liked the Chiefs. Now they got Mahomes, they got Taylor Swift, they got a little motion. You're sitting there looking at them like, wait, hold on. You just got a starter jacket. Hold on. You haven't gone through the wars. You haven't been battle tested. And you know what they're going to do when the Chiefs, when this run is over? Let's go pick another team. You know, let's go pick another team. Hey, I was rolling with the Chiefs when it was the it thing to do. Yeah. I'm not, they're not the it thing to do anymore. That's fine. Some of you love the Bulls in the 90s. Now you're like, oh, I hate basketball. What are you talking about? Yeah. Be a Fairweather fan. We need more Fairweather fans.
We all know that person in high school that, like, you as a Chiefs fan, they were like, what a loser. Why would you cheer for that team? Who's their quarterback, Brody Croyle? What a waste. My fantasy team is more important than the Chiefs. And now you see that same person on Facebook being like, Section 312 double X is where I've lived for years. Yeah. No, you haven't.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That person has no clue who Matt Cassel is. No clue who
if
Matt
you
Cassel
didn't
is.
Have a take on the Mike Vrabel trade, I don't want to hear from you at Arrowhead.
If you didn't get excited for Kendrell Bell, don't talk to me. Like, yeah, you know, and it's fair for you diehards to, because some of you have been out there this whole time. You were out there in the snow, rain, all of those things. Some people, they have only got all the good of cheering for the Chiefs. None of the bad. That sounds like a good way to enjoy cheering for a team. Some of you went to go see every Marvel movie. Now they ain't hot no more. You know what? I'll just wait to watch this one when it comes on streaming. You know, I'll just wait to watch this one on Disney Plus. You're a Fairweather fan. That's okay. It's all right.
I mean, we both know that in like what, 4 or 5 months, KU's gonna play Colorado at Arrowhead. You know, you're gonna see a lot of Colorado fans.
Yeah.
Do you know what they weren't fans of Colorado during any other coaching term?
I became a Colorado fan last year. I loved them.
Who was the coach before Dion? I don't know, but I love my Buffs. Shut up.
Yeah, I don't. Why do I need to know that information? I couldn't tell you anything about them. I couldn't tell you one single thing about them. I don't think I ever watched Colorado play before Dion got there. I was cheering for him last year. I was waking up early, 11 o'clock, big noon on Fox, cheering my heart out for Colorado. Loved it. Can't wait. I can't wait to do it again this year. Can't wait to do it. It's perfect timing, Rob. That's what it is. That's what I would consider it. Very perfect timing to cheer for Colorado. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we will still continue to take calls. We have one rule today, only one rule. If you are the coach of a team and you want to call out to shout out your team, you can do so. It does not matter if you are Andy Reid, or it doesn't matter if you are the coach for your daughter's T-ball team and this is her first team and you decided to be the coach. If you want to call in and shout out your team, you can do so. Speaking of teams, coming up at the top of the hour, I asked this question. If you have one word to describe the first half of the season for the Royals, what word would you use? I'll tell you mine. Keep it right here, Sir Drive. All right, Rob, let's have this conversation for a bit. Coming up at the top of the hour, I do want to talk more baseball. This is what I'd like to talk to you about, Rob. So earlier, I told you guys that this weekend, I think I watched almost as much soccer on television as I ever have in my life. I watched most of both games. And I enjoyed it. I really had a good time watching. And now, a lot of that was where I was. You know, you're at the sports book. There's people on both sides. They're yelling. They're screaming. They're going crazy. It was just a fun atmosphere. I would not consider myself to be a soccer fan. But if you tell me that people that are the best at something are competing at it, I usually will give it a try. I mean, I'm not the best speller in the world, but if you're telling me that, hey, the best spellers that our country has to offer in a competition, well, damn it, I'm watching it. I don't know how to play poker at all. Like, don't even understand the basic premise of poker. But hey, if it's the World Series of Poker and it's the final table, I will turn it on and watch it. So I was telling you guys that I think the reason that some of you don't like soccer is you have chosen to cheer for Boston College. And you would be a happier individual, and maybe you would like soccer if you just picked a different team. If your only introduction to soccer is the MLS and the United States national team, I get how, you know what, soccer may not be for you. But why don't you open up your eyes and see that soccer could be really fun if you just became a bandwagon fan? Oh, the text line was telling me how you can't be a bandwagon fan. You can't be a Fairweather fan. What are you guys talking about? Most of you are Fairweather fans. There's nothing wrong with that. We have kind of done this in sports where we make it seem like everybody is a diehard fan. The Royals are not bottom five in attendance in a sports-crazed environment if a lot of you are not Fairweather fans. I saw Kansas football be dormant. They were giving tickets away for a decade. Kansas football had a little bit of motion. It was sold out.
most people are fair weather fans. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. You might have used to love an artist, but they don't make good music anymore. That doesn't mean you have to keep going to their concerts. No, you got to start making better music and I'll come back. We got to quit trying to shame casual fans, fair weather fans, people that pick up and put down fandom. There's nothing wrong with that. I love Missouri basketball. I do, with my whole heart. You know what I don't really have much of an interest doing? Driving on a Wednesday to watch them play Mississippi State in the course of a season in which they haven't won a single conference game. You boys have lost all 2024. Why would I go to this? This is not fun. This is not enjoyable. This is not entertaining. I am here to tell you, there is nothing wrong with being a casual fan. There is nothing wrong with being a fair weather fan. In fact, you guys might be the smart ones. You might be the smart one. You know what doesn't seem like it's been a lot of fun the last couple of years? Being a diehard Royals fan. Some of you have those people in your life. Hey, you went to 50 Royals games last year? Why? You can't like fun if you went to 50 Royals games last year. For free? And not just for free, you paid money to be there? Oh, no, you can't. You cannot like fun. It could not have been that enjoyable to watch baseball. I don't like anybody that much. I'm just telling you, it's okay to be a fair weather fan. It's okay. It's okay to tell these teams, hey, I'll come back when you get better. So what I'm suggesting is, I'm not saying you got to quit the United States soccer team forever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying right now, while they don't have a coach and they're trying to figure things out and they're losing in the first round, pick up another team and then come back. Who's going to judge you? No one's going to judge you.
Me, I'll judge you.
I'm saying right now, cheer for the Netherlands. It looks like it's fun to cheer for the Netherlands. Pick France. They're good. Pick another team.
I would have no problem.
France is red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much of a difference. Yeah, cheer for France.
I have no problem with this take if it's not a tournament the United States is in. If you are a casual fan, it's like, hey, I like watching high-level soccer. And you told me, you know what I love? I cheered my heart out in the Euros for Spain, and I was rewarded. Cool. That's fine by me. I have no problem with that. But if you're going to tell me this year in the World Cup 2026, games are going to be in Kansas City, you know who I'm a diehard fan of? Netherlands. And I'm like, oh, where are you from? Kansas City, Missouri. No, not okay. I don't even mind a level of fair weather. Your Missouri example is perfect. You remained a Missouri fan.
Yeah.
Your loudness just changed, and that's fine. But when Missouri was bad last year, they were winning no conference games. I never saw you roll up to the office in Big Blue Nation gear, because that's not how it works.
Okay, no, that's, you're right.
You were never once like, you know who can hoop? My favorite player, my favorite team, Reed Sheppard.
Someone said, do you think fair weather fans are different than bandwagon fans? I mean, kinda. I mean, they're kind of the same. There are people now that have just started cheering for the Chiefs. You know that too. That person never really liked the Chiefs. Now they got Mahomes, they got Taylor Swift, they got a little motion. You're sitting there looking at them like, wait, hold on. You just got a starter jacket. Hold on. You haven't gone through the wars. You haven't been battle tested. And you know what they're going to do when the Chiefs, when this run is over? Let's go pick another team. You know, let's go pick another team. Hey, I was rolling with the Chiefs when it was the it thing to do. Yeah, they're not the it thing to do anymore. That's fine. Some of you love the Bulls in the 90s. Now you're like, oh, I hate basketball. What are you talking about? Yeah. Be a fair weather fan. We need more fair weather fans.
We all know that person in high school that, like, you as a Chiefs fan, they were like, what a loser. Why would you cheer for that team? Who's their quarterback, Brody Croyle? What a waste. My fantasy team is more important than the Chiefs. And now you see that same person on Facebook being like, Section 312 double X is where I've lived for years. Yeah. No, you haven't.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That person has no clue who Matt Castle is. No clue who
if
Matt
you
Castle
didn't
is.
Have a take on the Mike Vrabel trade, I don't want to hear from you at Arrowhead.
If you didn't get excited for Kendrell Bell, don't talk to me. Like, yeah, you know, and it's fair for you diehards to, because some of you have been out there this whole time. You were out there in the snow, rain, all of those things. Some people, they have only got all the good of cheering for the Chiefs. None of the bad. That sounds like a good way to enjoy cheering for a team.
Some of you went to go see every Marvel movie. Now they ain't hot no more. You know what? I'll just wait to watch this one when it comes on streaming. You know, I'll just wait to watch this one on Disney Plus. You're a Fairweather fan. That's okay. It's all right.
I mean, we both know that in like what, 4 or 5 months, KU's gonna play Colorado at Arrowhead. You know what you're gonna see a lot of? Colorado fans.
Yeah.
Do you know what they weren't fans of Colorado during? Any other coaching term.
I became a Colorado fan last year. I loved them.
Who was the coach before Dion? I don't know, but I love my Buffs. Shut up.
Yeah, I don't. Why do I need to know that information? I couldn't tell you anything about them. I couldn't tell you one single thing about them. I don't think I ever watched Colorado play before Dion got there. I was cheering for him last year. I was waking up early, 11 o'clock, big noon on Fox, cheering my heart out for Colorado. Loved it. Can't wait. I can't wait to do it again this year. Can't wait to do it. It's perfect timing, Rob. That's what it is. That's what I would consider it. Very perfect timing to cheer for Colorado. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we will still continue to take calls. We have one rule today, only one rule. If you are the coach of a team and you want to call out to shout out your team, you can do so. It does not matter if you are Andy Reid, or it doesn't matter if you are the coach for your daughter's T-ball team, and this is her first team, and you decide to be the coach. If you want to call in and shout out your team, you can do so. Speaking of teams, coming up at the top of the hour, I asked this question. If you have one word to describe the first half of the season for the Royals, what word would you use? I'll tell you mine. Keep it right here, so drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.